This episode of Discover ADN is brought to you by Alpha Efficiency, a monthly productivity magazine that focuses on helping people like you live purposeful lives by exploring new tools, techniques, and productivity principles. They offer insights for purposeful living instead of canned systems, allowing you to use only the tips and techniques that work for you. Check out Alpha Efficiency in the Apple App Store or on their website at alphaefficiency.com/magazine. Welcome to episode 3 of Discover ADN. My name is Jason Irwin, and I am the host of this program. The goal of Discover ADN is to learn more about the many creative, intelligent, and interesting people that use app.net to communicate with the world, as well as offer us a chance to attach a voice to the words and avatars we see flowing through our timelines. Want to be on the show or recommend somebody you think is interesting? Get in touch on app.net by sending a message to Discover ADN. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Janie Clayton Haas, who goes by the pseudonym Red Queen Coder on app.net. She lives in the United States and is an up-and-coming software developer with a deep understanding of core audio and takes care of two adorable pugs. Please join me in welcoming Janie to Discover ADN. Hello.
Hi, everybody.
So, you have been on app.net for quite some time. Can you tell us, when did you join the service?
Okay, I apologize. This is going to be a somewhat long and rambling story, but I'll get to my point eventually.
No problem.
I actually had joined Twitter back in, I think, like 2008, but I didn't really understand what Twitter was. I think back in 2013, I'd only had like 5 tweets on Twitter because it was something I just didn't really understand. And then I went to my first programming conference. And I realized that that was a really good way of actually meeting other developers. So I would go and I would sit in the audience and I'd see somebody doing a talk. And I would tweet them and tell them, hey, I think that your talk was really cool. And then I'd come up to them an hour later and go, hey, I'm Red Queen Coder. And they, oh, thanks for, you know, talking to me about my talk. And that was how I was able to actually start meeting and creating a network of other developers for coding. So that was how I got into Twitter for my first conference. My second conference, we set up a patter room on app.net, and I'd gotten invited to app.net by my teacher, Eric Knapp, and I didn't really understand how to do app.net either. But going to this second conference and setting up a patter room and having other people who were members of app.net and all of us kind of sitting together in the room listening to the talks, kind of talking to each other, really helped establish to me that this was this community of people where you could go and you could talk. I mean, you know, you may not necessarily know who somebody is, but you could have little in-jokes and be able to communicate with one another. One of the things we had was we had this guy that was walking around. His name was Epic Beard Guy. So, you know, I'm on patter with all these other people like, ooh, Epic Beard Guy's sighting, you know. He's in this particular thing doing this, and it was really cool having this kind of like secret society type community within the conference to be able to go in and talk to. So I got into app.net through being at conferences and realizing that it was a good way of being able to talk to friendly developers who all wanted to just be able to, you know, communicate and have a nice little community of people.
Well, that sounds like a good reason to join. You use a pseudonym on app.net, so can you tell us, where does Red Queen Coder come from?
I started programming about 2 or 3 years ago, and I started doing iOS programming because I was told that it was very difficult. About a couple of months after I started iOS programming, iOS 6 came out, and all of a sudden we were told, everything that you know is wrong, it's all changed, forget everything you just knew because you have to learn something new. And I was really interested in Alice in Wonderland. I love Lewis Carroll. I love all of his various mathematical and logical type themes. And one of his characters in Alice Through the Looking Glass was the Red Queen. She was like from chess, so she was the Red Queen. And Alice saw her running as fast as she possibly could. And she said to the Red Queen, well, where are you trying to go so fast by running as fast as you can? She said, I'm not trying to get anywhere. I'm just trying to stay in one place. If I want to get anywhere, I have to run twice as fast as I'm running now. And I felt very much that way about programming, that you have to learn as fast as you possibly can just to keep up with all of the changes that are getting thrown at you by Apple.
As well as all the other companies. It seems every day there's another framework to learn. Okay. Is there anything that you would like to see more of on app.net?
That is a good question. I'm just trying to... I think that we're just scratching the surface of what app.net can be. I know that there are apps like OHI that have really expanded the framework of what you can do with the app.net API. And I feel like right now we aren't really utilizing it to its full potential. Everybody's making clients, which are really cool, but there's so many other things you can do with the API. And I would really love to be able to see somebody look at the API and go, I want to do something different with this. I want to do something that isn't a client. I want to really push the boundaries of what I can do with this API and this community of people.
Any ideas?
I'm trying to think of something. I'm trying to process that. I will get back to you when I figure something out.
Okay. Let's change gears a little bit. Can you tell us, what do you like to be known for?
I'm trying to think of that because there are several things that I'm interested in knowing. I'm known as one of the audio people because I talk about all of my interest in sound and learning how to program core audio. Right now I'm getting into more of the graphic stuff, but I also don't want to just be known as somebody who's a programmer. I'm also known for being the person who posts lots of pug pictures. So I don't know. I don't know who I am right now, so I don't know how I want people to know who I am because I don't even know what that is. And God, that sounds horribly pretentious.
Well, it's also very honest. Okay. Let me ask this next question. You have recently given some talks at conferences like CocoConf. What was that like?
It was an amazing experience. Like I said, I started going to conferences about a year ago. If I had been told that I would be doing talks at these conferences I was attending a year after I attended them the first time, I'd have said, no way, that's not possible. There's no way I'm going to be able to do that. It was really meaningful to me that I was given the opportunity to do that because, especially at a CocoConf. CocoConf is an invite-only conference, and the fact that the clients who were putting on CocoConf had enough faith in me that I would be able to prepare a talk and that I wouldn't screw it up too badly, and it would be something that people would be interested in. It really was meaningful to me that they gave me that chance, and I just really didn't want to let them down. If I'd done poorly, I would have felt bad that I did poorly, but I really wanted to make sure that I didn't let down people who gave me a chance and had confidence in me to do something that was difficult. It was really exciting to go in. I was the first person to talk after the keynote was done. It was right at the beginning of the conference. People weren't burned out. Everybody was really energized, and they all had their coffee in them, so they were all really excited. And it was a really cool experience. And then it was over, and I'm like, wait a minute. I've been preparing for this for a month, and now it's over, and nobody's paying attention to me, and I've got nothing else to think about.
Well, on that note, are there any conferences that you would like to present at in the future?
I would really like to present at the Grace Hopper Conference and the 360 iDev Conference. I know they haven't opened up the talk submission yet, but I've got a couple of talks that I'm kind of pitching to a couple of different conferences, and I'd really like to have a chance to go and talk at a conference that's outside of the Midwest. I've only really been to conferences in Madison and Chicago. I did get to go to one in Boston, but one of my goals is to be in the next 5 years is to be able to do talks in other countries. I'd love to come to Japan.
Well, I'd be happy to see you here. What do you hope the audience gets from your talks?
I hope that they become enthused about what I'm talking about. So far, all of my talks have been about audio. In the future, I'd like to talk a little bit about 3D mathematics. I want to talk about stuff that may prevent people from getting into doing things that are perceived to be difficult. I know that core audio has a really bad reputation for being a difficult thing, and that a lot of people don't even try to do audio programming because they've been scared off from it because they're under the impression that it's really hard. I'd really like to be able to take something that is seemingly difficult and make it approachable so that people start thinking about doing things that they wouldn't normally think about doing. Because one of the things I want to talk about is how to do 3D math. I'm trying to learn OpenGL right now, and one of the things that's really blocking me is that I'll do a tutorial and it'll show me how to make like a rotating cube. And I'm like, what if I don't want a cube? What if I want something else? And I'll go and I'll look at the math equations to make other shapes. And when I see those, I don't even know where to begin. It's like, I need a Rosetta Stone to be able to translate the math over to the code. And I would love to be able to learn that and be able to show that to other people. To show them, see, this is what this looks like, but in code it looks like this. This is how you translate it, so you can unlock the possibilities of 3D mathematics.
So core audio and 3D math, are there any other areas that you would like to explore?
Another talk that I'm pitching right now is to talk about systematics. So I found this book by John Gall, where he's talking about systems and why systems don't work the way you want them to. Like, I've noticed at my first job, we were an agile development company, and we had all these different things in place that were supposed to keep people productive and make people accountable for what they were doing. But the more stuff we had, the less accountable people became, because it was because people forgot to add things in. There wasn't any human interaction. It was really difficult for anybody to know what was actually going on. And I think that a lot of people, we want to be more productive and we want to put systems in place. Like, I want to put in a system so that I will remember to work out every day. But every time we create something, it doesn't actually go through. And I'm fascinated by why that is. And I would love to be able to figure out how to help people create systems that work for them and aren't going to fail them. And I think that that's something that's really interesting and really important, because I'm just really interested in how everything in the world connects.
Do you think the study of systems would be more a technology study or a psychology study?
I think it's some of both. I read this book by John Gall talking about systematics, but I also, right now, I'm reading Jurassic Park, and it's talking about chaos theory, and a lot of what they're talking about in there with the Malcolm effect. They were talking about how it's a system and how all of these systems work and interact. And I think that there's some aspect of psychology in it, but I think there's also aspects of mathematics that are associated with systems.
Well, that is a very, very deep topic to study. So when you're not studying these really deep topics and burning your brain out, how do you like to relax?
What is this relaxing I keep hearing people talk about?
this is usually when you're sitting on the couch, you are staring in the general direction of a glowing screen, and maybe you see some moving pictures.
I'm really interested in anime. Anime was something that I really got into my freshman year of college, because I was going to an engineering school where I was literally the only girl in the class. There'd be 20 guys and there would be me, and we were out in the middle of nowhere. I was at UW Platteville, so if there's anybody who's from around there, you know what spam is. So basically the only thing that there was to do was once a week, a bunch of us geeks would get together in a movie theater and we'd all watch anime. And I really got interested in that back when I was in college. And then after I moved away, I kind of got out of it a little bit. And then when I started going to my conferences, I met up with Chris Adamson and TJ Usian. I'm probably pronouncing his name badly, but like, they were all talking about anime and they were talking about like Attack on Titan. And so I kept hearing, oh, you have to see this, you have to see this. I'm like, no, I'm probably not going to see it. And then I went to a party and I was like, holy crap, this is just mind-blowingly amazing. So that got me back into watching anime. So that's something that I do for fun. I like to travel. I haven't gotten to do it very much, but I got to go to China. I've been on a couple of cruises. I really like seeing the world, and I don't know if that's necessarily relaxing or not, but that's something I like to do.
Well, seeing the world can certainly be relaxing until something goes wrong. Are there any particular anime series that you would recommend people watch?
I definitely recommend people watch Madoka Magica. Madoka Magica is a series where, like, the first three episodes, you think it's going to be like a Sailor Moon ripoff, and then something horrible happens in the third episode, and you realize it is a completely different type of series. It's only 13 episodes long, and it's one of the best scripted series I've ever seen in my life. The series that I just got done watching right now was Revolutionary Girl Utena. That's available on Hulu Plus if people have it. It's about 40 episodes long. It's kind of an older one, but it was really well done. I recommend Angel Beats, Attack on Titan. I wish I'd known I was going to be listing anime. I would have written something up for myself. There's probably a bunch of ones that I've forgotten.
Well, that's fair. Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of the series that you've mentioned, but Revolutionary Girl Utena is one that I remember from my past.
Yeah, I just got done watching it, and it was kind of, I don't want to say that we had a cliffhanger, but it got really intense towards the end. So I was like 10 minutes into the last, away from the end of the last episode, I was like, oh my God, this is intense. And my husband's like, hey, Janie, why aren't you paying attention? He's like, go away, leave me alone, don't you understand?
And that's why I don't watch anime. So. Okay, so let me spring the last question on you, which a lot of people find to be the most difficult question. Who are three people on app.net that you would recommend everybody should follow?
The first person I'd like to recommend is Anna Tarkoff. One reason that I want to recommend Anna is because, I don't know about you, but most of the people that I follow on app.net are all programmers. I mean, it's basically, it's almost kind of an assumption that if you're talking to somebody, they're probably some type of coder. But Anna's a journalist. I think that she brings a really interesting perspective to app.net as somebody who is not a techie, who's not a programmer. She's a woman, she does journalism, she has really strong opinions, and she's a very articulate and passionate person, but she's very respectful. And I think that it's important that we have more people like Anna on app.net because she really enriches the community.
I agree. Anybody else?
I would also recommend following Jeremy Sherman. His handle is at JWS. I've recently, in the last couple of months, decided that I really want to be a better software developer. And anytime I go on app.net and I ask questions, invariably he's somebody who will answer a question back. He's given me so much advice about how to become a better developer, and he's been so generous with his time that it's really enriched my network to have him there to speak to about programming. And if you are a software developer, I highly recommend following him because he's just such a wonderful, generous person with his time.
Excellent. Okay. And one more, please.
All right. Last one that I want to recommend is Verdant Coder. Verdant like green, so V-E-R-D-A-N-T-C-O-D-E-R. Her name is Laura Hart, and she and I went to CocoaConf. So this is one of her first semesters learning programming, and she's kind of a newer person to the programming community. And I've been telling her about how amazing app.net is and about how great everybody's been and how they've given me advice about how to become a better programmer. And I would really love to see her be able to connect with all of these wonderful people. So I'm hoping that y'all will go out and follow her so that she has this great community to learn from like I had.
Well, those are three excellent choices. All right. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to sit down and talk with me today.
Thank you for having me, and I hope that I didn't ramble too much.
No, not at all. All right. Have a nice day.
You too.
This concludes the third episode of Discover ADN. Once again, I would like to thank Janie Clayton Haas for taking the time to chat with me. And show notes for today's episode can be found online at discoveradn.10centuries.com. That's the number 10, centuries.com. I would also like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Alpha Efficiency. Have a nice day.